Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
It's up, it's down, it's all around. Welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, talking about GameStop stock. Up and down, it's all around. Now it's down 30% today, and it's just crazy. Just crazy, crazy times. And you know it's crazy times when they decide to nominate Stacey Abrams, the activist from Georgia, for the Nobel Peace Prize, as well as the Black Lives Matter movement, the Nobel Peace Prize, although I'm sure there's some small business owners in various cities, I don't know, like Minneapolis and places like that, that might not agree that the Nobel Peace Prize makes a lot of sense. And all I can say on that, I'm not going to spend time on it today because we have a Full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher, who brings his expertise to the show once a week. And on the first Monday of the month, that being today, February 1st, we do a full show. But the Bible talks a lot about money and possessions, so it makes a regular appearance here on the show as well. But in a land where you can have Stacey Abrams being nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, what do you expect in terms of craziness? And might I just add on a personal note that I sure am glad my last name is spelled N-O-B-L-E as opposed to N-O-B-E-L. Like the so-called Nobel Peace Prize. Welcome back to the show, David Fisher, Landmark Capital, our good friend and expert. Thank you for calling. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I would say, though, in the world of radio, in Christian radio, I would nominate you for that type of peace prize. So I appreciate you allowing me to come on your program and partnering.
Absolutely.
Partner with you.
Absolutely. And one of the great things about our relationship is the fact that we both serve the same Lord, one baptism, same word, same Lord, same Spirit, and the same destination, which is awesome. And that makes it even more enjoyable for us to do radio together. And when David's not on the full show, when we do a Money Monday update, we always start that with a passage of Scripture. So we are keeping first things first here, not only on the show, but when we talk about finances and stuff, and really appreciate you bringing your wealth of experience, 20 plus years in that world, David. And of course, lots of interesting things going on. GameStop was an issue last week. So many people, I assure you, most people in the audience never heard of GameStop, never heard of Reddit, never heard of a short squeeze, all kinds of stuff. But it's been pretty wild. So give us a recap on that. I started the show and mentioned just today they were down 30%. But how should we look at this? Is this just kind of a strange blip on the radar screen? Is this kind of the wild, wild west? Or what do you think?
A little bit of both. The old adage, though, there's an element of what goes up must come down.
Yeah.
You know, make no doubt of it, though, GameStop hasn't made any more money in the last couple weeks than it did in the last few years, or lost any more money. This movement in the stock is all manipulation, mostly derived by hedge funds, and then the small investor came in, kind of like a David and Goliath thing here.
Yeah.
That's going right on. So, you know, just to clarify, there's a thing called a naked short, or a short squeeze, some people call it. You mentioned that. In essence, they're betting that the market's going to go down, but when you do a naked short, you have to actually buy the stock at some point in the future. And it can get bought, the same stock can get bought over multiple times, you know, 10, 20, 30 times. There's no limit. So it's almost like a derivative at that point. But there was this massive short by hedge funds here a couple weeks ago when the stock was trading, you know, in the 20-some dollar range, and betting that is going to go lower. And because they had to buy the stock in the future, it actually started to rise the stock. And then through Reddit and other media that we decided that was saying, let's decide and fight the Goliath,
yeah,
the big hedge funds. And so the small investor started buying the stock and going long on it, and that's what caused this big movement from a stock under, you know, $25 going to $325, now pulling back to $225, and so it's all over the place.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the business model of of GameStop, and in fact, they limited trading last week in Robinhood, Charles Schwab, TD Ameritrade. You couldn't buy the stock, you could sell it. And then today, they halted trading the circuit breakers. The market fell 34% initially in the morning. They stopped, you couldn't get out of the market, no matter how hard it was falling. And so now, the shorts are kind of tumbling. The price to buy a short is tumbling. So it looks like this thing is just about ran its end of shorting the market anymore, which means the big run because of the naked shorts might be over. So there's a lot of people saying it might trade at its previous levels. And this is, by the way, this volume is all over the place, not just New York and Los Angeles, Dallas, right. San Francisco. They're even having outages at Fidelity, E-Trade, and Ameritrade. So
it's crazy.
It's caught a lot of news, and I think the next short is getting ready to come here, and today's happening.
Yeah, do you? And then AMC, I mean, AMC movie theaters, which put this up on Facebook the other day. I was like, okay, I like this part of it because I'm a big movie fan, love to go see movies. And, of course, that whole industry has been hammered, and AMC was not in good shape at all. And this is this because kind of the same thing happened with them, too, through Reddit and other places. And a bunch of people sweep in. They decide they want to save the movie, this particular movie house. And pretty much they have. And so it's really wild to watch little guys versus the big guys. Do you think this is a blip, or do you think this is going to be a new norm, at least for a while?
Well, I don't know about the stock, but there's like 50 stocks that are kind of falling into this category, and silver's doing the same thing today. We'll talk about that in a second. But I think this is the David and Goliath fight, the big boys being the hedge fund managers. Goliath thinks that they're untouchable. And social media has said quite different, and it's on all these post forums, they've said, let's fight these big banks. You know, we're sick and tired of what's going on. This whole, we've been talking about this for months, this whole dichotomy between Wall Street and Main Street. Main Street has literally kicked the keister out of, I'll say it politely, Street. So, they hit them hard. Wall Street's lost a lot of money. There's a hedge fund that Melvin Capital has lost 53% just in January alone. I mean, that's half an investment fund. That's just unheard of. They had to get bailed out by another hedge fund. So,
well, we thought, interestingly enough, and for us as Christians, you know this, David, that in our relationships, as many of them as we can, Romans 12:18, seek peace. You know, we're supposed to, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. But we live in a nation that's remarkably divided and viscerally so. Why? I don't know why anybody would be surprised that we would see that carry into the market with big money versus little money, and the Davids up top with the hedge fund guys, I mean the Goliaths up top with the little people down below. It's just the divisiveness that's become all too normal around here. Talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. It's Monday, February 1st. So we got a Money Monday, a full Money Monday, instead of just an update with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website. And always appreciate you bringing your expertise and helping us understand all these things. And people are learning a lot of vocabulary and things about the markets in the last week that they never thought they would. But I guess that's just the world we're living in now. And then I shared with you, David, I don't know if I texted you or if I emailed you, but something bizarre was going on with silver last week.
Yeah, and we also talked about on your show when Janet Yellen was before Congress in her trying to be the next Treasury Secretary, she talked about that she supports a bunch of spending, the $1.9 trillion spending bill, and that was the day that I reported on or the following show that the silver market was being pushed with a half a billion dollars showed up in the silver derivative market, and it caused silver to go up. And put into perspective, a half a billion is like 20 million ounces of silver. We only produce 2.2 million ounces of silver a day, so it was a big push. So then but the central banks and the big banks and some hedge funds, most of the hedge funds not, but the banks don't want silver and gold to run, and they've been shorting it, trying to keep it down. But we had a hi-ho silver moment here, taking center stage, and the retail frenzy stocks stepped aside in the focus. So silver surged the most today since the Lehman Brothers, in the top $30 since 2013. It's the second biggest one-day move in the century of silver.
Whoa.
So this is a big move. It was up 10% this morning. It's still up around 5.3%. But to put in, you know, this is, you know, again, the retail and traders discovered the strength in unity, and they found a new target. It was no longer GameStop and AMC. It was the bigger target. Silver is much bigger. So they, on Wall Street Bets Forum, is where this all started, and one forum post declared that, let's create the biggest short in the world, is what the title of it is, and he encouraged traders to pile into silver as a way to stick it to big banks. So this was totally a David and Goliath. And, you know, if you look at last week's events with GameStop and others, the purchasing power of the retail investor,
yeah,
this has been sufficiently demonstrated once again now in the silver market. So it is a little bit different, but it's the same concept, and that's why they couldn't hold this thing down.
It's like the French Revolution in many ways, and you got the aristocrats and the regular folks. It's like the proletariat and the Bolsheviks and the plebeians down there on the lower level, and the Roman emperors up on top. I mean, and it feeds obviously right off of human nature. I mean, from a biblical perspective, we understand what drives this and greed and avarice and all of that. But it's just amazing to see it carry into the market. It's kind of like the BLM movement. Where, you know, you get a movement going and there's parts of it that are noble, and then it gets out of control, and then all kinds of crazy things cut loose. And it's just remarkable, the chaos that we tend to deal with every week. So do you think what will happen with silver? Did they actually kind of, and there was actually a supply issue, wasn't there, as a result of this?
Yeah. In fact, all the major big brokerage houses that sell bullion depleted their stock on Friday afternoon, sometimes Saturday,
wow,
and they halted all trade. So I have adequate silver supplies right now. I'm saying that I might run out by saying that, though. But
I
actually placed a couple orders this morning. But it is a little bit different than, I want to make sure that people understand, this is not, silver's not going to do what GameStop did, go
right
up 1,600%. This is not, I've always said buying metals is not a get-rich-quick scheme. But I will say this. The market capitalization in GameStop was $1.4 billion before the whole Reddit and the whole forum thing came out. The total market capitalization in silver is quite larger, $32 billion. But there's a lot more shortage in silver, and especially when you get to put the contracts in there, that's where the key is.
Wow.
That's what will cause some big problems, and we could see some big movements, not as a 1,600% movement, but I think we're in a long-term bull market definitely in silver, and we've just started this movement upward.
So would you generally, well, I think I know the answer to this, but I just want to make sure we cover it. Generally, put up a big yellow flag and warn people when things are going on like this, unless you literally have money to blow, you probably shouldn't be jumping in and taking part in kind of a crowdsource movement here, because it can start and look awesome, but it can end just like that. And real people are going to get really hurt with really big numbers.
Well, I know we're going to talk about Bitcoin, and we already talked about GameStop. I wouldn't buy into any market that's already made those, you know, hundreds and hundreds of percentages of movement, like, you know, 1,000% of movement. That's when you get hurt. You want to buy, you know, like silver went up 48%. Is it all this incredibly high? Not in reference to the money supply and the fundamentals, but it is being bought. So that's why you're seeing a blip going today with the shortages of silver. But it's a different product, and you can't create silver fast enough, but you can create a lot of paper out there.
So, like, silver did some wild things back in the 1970s, right? So is this kind of similar to that, or is this a new territory?
Well, let's put into what you call the silver future market, which is not physical silver. But for every contract that is created, like a 100-ounce silver contract, there's only like 1 ounce to 1 ounce of silver behind that contract physically, or there's some say the ratio is like a 500 to 1.
Wow.
Well, so let's take the happy medium. Let's call it a 250 to 1. So somebody, there's no such thing as a 250-ounce silver contract, but let's say there is. So if somebody leverages their money that way and there's only 1 ounce behind it, if everybody started calling in the contracts and said, I want silver this time and I want to be paid out in cash, that would cause the silver market to do a GameStop. It would literally do that. And that was the thought behind all this. So, but we are like a cornering of the market, like the Hunt brothers in the 70s when silver hit $80 an ounce. We're not there. We're under $30 today. But when you adjust silver for inflation, the CPI number is five times higher today than 1980. So silver should be, you know, $150.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's highly undervalued. I'm not saying it's going to go there tomorrow, next week, or even next month or next year, but it's going to have a lot more upside. And this is why people should diversify into metals, both gold and silver.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, and oftentimes for a lot of people, I know I wasn't thinking about it before, and you don't, you just kind of go, well, you know, we have a home. And we say we own a home. Most of us don't own a home. The bank owns the home, and we're paying them back for it. And then, you have some stocks and bond, mutual funds, whatever, but we don't often think of having a diversified portfolio, and that's a big thing that we need to be aware of and understand and get educated to go, okay, what are my options out there? And most people don't have a ton of money, but a lot of people have some money. And that's why, from a biblical perspective, David, as you know, God calls us to be good stewards of it. Well, how can you be good stewards if you don't have knowledge? So we should all be kind of students of this stuff at some level, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. You know, people perish for lack of knowledge or wisdom, and it happens not just spiritually, it happens financially. You know, and people miss out on runs because they're not aware of what might cause that run, and that's
right.
Why we talk about things ahead of time. I mean, we talked about silver getting ready to run, and it's starting to do that.
Yeah,
it's not too late, though.
No, it's not too late, and pay attention. It's amazing how well that works. Well, you mentioned Bitcoin. We're going to go there when we come back, and that's another thing that can be very confusing to a lot of people. It's cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and so we've got David Fisher, our good friend from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. It's his website. David, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be right back after this. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
She's here, you can take
I'm digging the new bump music. The new bump music, could you tell? If you've been here long enough, you're like, hey, this sounds different. Well, yeah, it is. It's different. Switch it out every once in a while. Just trying to have a little fun. It's okay. It's 2021. Trump lost, air quotes for some of you. Biden won, air quotes for some of you. And you sit there and go, oh, the country's going to heck in a handbasket and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know what? Every once in a while, and I would say on a daily basis, I would highly recommend to you that you turn off the radio, turn off Facebook, turn off social media, turn off talk radio, turn off Daily Signal, Daily Wire, whatever you're doing, and just back away. Go have a nice conversation. Meet somebody out for coffee or lunch if you can do that without going to jail. And just laugh a little bit. Watch a funny movie. When's the last time you watched like a rom-com, a romantic comedy? And just laughed. Play some board games with your house. Push away from the table. We do not need to dine on the news of the day all the time. Okay? We don't. And it's really unhealthy. And somebody said to me, a friend of ours, we went out to lunch after church yesterday. You know, rebels that we are. And a friend said, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you deal with this stuff every day on the show and then just keep your sanity. And I'm like, well, I do the time that I need to do, but then I push away and I get away from it very deliberately. And like this, I try not to talk about politics every day on the show. It's been a season for that last year as COVID unfolded. But for all of us, be very careful. It's just like a regular diet. Okay. Should you eat cotton candy every day? No. Should you eat bacon 10 times a day? Well, maybe on that one, but probably not. And you got to have a balance, just like with your investments, as David always reminds us, it's good to diversify and don't be all in one thing or the other. And make sure with the news of the day and politics and the crazy things going on. I mean, now they call it doom scrolling now. Is that right, Seth? Doom scrolling? Is that correct? Doom scrolling is when you just sit there, go through your Twitter feed or Facebook or whatever, and it's just one infuriating thing after another. And you'll just sit there and get locked into it for 30 minutes or an hour. Doom scrolling. Is that wise? Is that healthy? Absolutely not. So be very careful out there, friends. That's why I changed the bump music. That's a little fun. Lighten up a little bit and enjoy all that the Lord has already provided for you. And talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, their website, landmarkgold.com. David, again, thanks for being with us today.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. And I just want to comment on something. So the forums, are talking about buying a whole bunch of different things. One form talked about physical. The other ones are they're also talking about SLV, which is what you call an iShare form. And so I want to make sure that is clear. They're not just saying one particular product. That'd be just like saying only buy one particular cryptocurrency. It's a whole bunch. So
on Facebook Live, I asked everybody on a scale from 1 to 10, how well do you understand cryptocurrency? And most people were about a 1. A 1, a 2. There was a negative 2 in there. And I think a lot of people hear this and just go, and I was mentioning this during the break on Facebook Live, David, and a lot of people go, yeah, that's crazy stuff, all this weird new stuff and blah, 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 blah. But cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and then digital currency, I mean, this is real. This is happening. And the world is generally moving in this direction. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, if you believe scripture and that we're moving towards a one-world system, and there's many scriptures that allude to that, we have to have a currency that works that is interchangeable. Is that Bitcoin? I don't think so. Is that it? Could be. Everything shows so far that's not it. Is it going to be gold and silver? I don't think that's going to be it. And people would not like me saying that about if they own gold and silver from my company. They want me to say yes, that will be it. I don't think so. I think it's going to be central banks doing the same old nonsense they've done in paper. They're just going to do it electronically. And we're going to move towards one central bank. I don't know if that's the Fed, but it's going to compete with cryptocurrencies. And I don't think cryptocurrencies are going by the wayside. But, there's so many things we could talk about. Bitcoin today, I got a whole bunch of stuff I can share, but ask away.
Yeah, do you think that should we at least be somewhat familiar with what it is? Because whether it's Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency, we're definitely moving in the direction of digital currency. And I think people need to understand, not to wave a false flag or freak everybody out, but you've talked about this in the past, David, with bail-ins, which have occurred in multiple countries around the world, where all your stuff's digital. You go look at your bank account and go, hey, look, we have $3,000 in our bank account. Well, that's digital. That's showing you there. And could you go today and empty out your bank account? You could, but also a federal government or some other entity could get in there and empty out your bank account too. They don't have to go grab a bunch of bags full of cash. And so this digital world is real, and we're moving more and more into that direction. But yeah, I mean, just kind of some Bitcoin cryptocurrency 101, because I think we should have at least a little bit of a working knowledge.
So it was created as an alternative towards central banks controlling currencies and gathering everybody into that system. And people said, I don't like to be in that system. I think the Bible talks about, you know, an alternative system. And therefore, out of that, cryptocurrencies were created. Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. There's lots of different types, but it's the most popular one. Let me full disclosure, I don't own any Bitcoins. I don't own any cryptocurrencies, not because I don't believe in it. I believe it's very risky, and I'm not telling people not to invest in it by saying that. But I will say this, and this will cause people to want to invest in it. If in 2011, if you invested $100 in Bitcoin, it'd be worth over $4 million today.
Wow.
The run has happened. The Bitcoin, there's a lot of misunderstanding. It's not a hedge against inflation. In fact, it's a terrible hedge, because Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies have gone sky high over the past year. And the dollar hasn't crashed significantly over the last year. In fact, many consider it's too volatile to be a hedge against anything, let alone the dollar.
Yeah.
And LaGuardia, the head of the ECB, the European Central Bank, Christine LaGuardia, said, for those who assume that this might turn into a currency, terribly sorry, but it's an asset, and it's a highly speculative one. So that's what this is. It's an asset. Deutsche Bank did a survey last week. 50% of investors say Bitcoin is an extreme bubble. In fact, it's higher than the tulip mania, 1634 to 1637. It's hard to use as a currency. In fact, Kevin O'Leary, who's part of Shark Tank and he's on CNBC, he tried to do a big transaction with a European firm for $200,000 with Bitcoin. They couldn't settle on it because they wanted to hedge Bitcoin against the volatility of the dollar. Wow. So the deal fell apart. But Bitcoin is not gold either. And if you're trying to buy Bitcoin to avoid knowing that the government is what knowing what you're doing, because you can buy gold and silver and there's no paperwork, there's nothing that involves the government buying or selling it. Even in an IRA, and I can explain that a little bit later, they don't know what you're buying.
Yeah.
They just know you have money in it. But the Coinbase in 2017, or 18, excuse me, February 23rd, the IRS came in and seized 13,000 customers' data because they were trying to avoid taxes. So if you're, if you're thinking on trying to have Bitcoin to avoid and have privacy, you have to trade it somewhere. It has to be on a platform. And as far as, you know, it's more safer now than it used to be, but 2014, $500 million of it got hacked. In 2017, $112 million were hacked out of Bitcoin. So just be careful. I'll have a, I'll say this. Don't buy it instead of gold and silver. Not, it's not a hedge against the dollar. It's not going to replace the dollar. If, and expect to pay taxes on any gains. And don't use it as a currency, but use it rather as an asset like a stock. But put a small percentage. In fact, billionaires like Stanley Druckenmiller, a believer, says 1 to 2% and never more than 10%.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so another asset class, speculative. Where it goes in 10 years, we don't know. But yeah, be careful. I appreciate you saying that. So let's talk about debt. Now, we've talked about this before, and I've got the U.S. debt clock pulled up in front of me. And we'll hit $28 trillion here in the near future. But you got a $1.9 trillion package on the table. Everything else that the Biden administration's talking about, they're going to go big and or go home for 2 years. So debt is still an issue, right? It's going to get worse.
Absolutely. You know, our government, and not just our government, but governments are producing incredible amounts of new money and stimulus right now. And, you know, the economy's, we still got 8, 10 million people unemployed. So, I mean, they're going to print a lot of money, spend a lot of money. But they're not concerned about this long-term effect. They're not facing the reality that the more money you print, the more you devalue the dollar, which leads to inflation and further weakness of the U.S. dollar's role as the world reserve currency. But the feds are stuck. They can't raise interest rates with such levels of debt. So they're in a hard place. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. So they're in a situation that they can't actually control now. For this first time this has ever happened in the history of the Fed. Many people who have nothing to do with gold and silver are saying this is the problem. I mean, CNBC has been talking about this for a couple of years now, and now it's really been talked about. So the currencies are going to go through a reset. Some say it's zero. I don't think it's zero, but it's going to go down and reset because of the debt levels when they're forced to raise interest rates because we will have inflation. When it resets, that's, and as it devalues, you're going to want to have a hedge against that.
Right.
It's not a matter if will we have problems. We will have problems. The government finally is now admitting we will have problems. Not all the government, but the Congressional Budget Office.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nice to hear, at least with an asterisk next to it, some levity and some honesty out of them. We're talking to David Fisher, our good friend from LandmarkGold.com, and brings great expertise to help us understand these complicated financial issues. More on debt when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. And contrary to that song, you're caught in a street fight, you know who you need? You need the Lord. So whether it's a street fight, just dealing with the flesh, the world, the flesh, the devil, whatever it is. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have an advocate. You have somebody with you, in you, all the time. Isn't that awesome? That's something to remember, no matter how dark it gets or how confusing it gets. With the world or what's going on, finances or otherwise, just remember that. So if your house is built on the rock of your faith in Jesus Christ, nothing's going to blow that over. If it's not, you're going to have a problem and you're going to see yourself emotionally and even spiritually up and down and up and down. You could be a double-minded man, unstable on all your way, up and down, up and down. You just don't want to live like that. And contentment is a beautiful thing once you figure that out. And Paul had to learn to be content. All of us as well need to work on that as well. And so we go to our good friend and a great expert on a lot of different financial issues, our friend David Fisher, as always, their website, LandmarkGold.com. But David, again, thank you so much for being with us today.
My honor, my brother.
Excellent. Always a pleasure. All right. So we're talking about debt. I was talking about it on the break on Facebook Live and looking at the world debt clocks and our debt clock. So obviously a big problem. It's only getting worse. And so kind of with gold and silver continuing to move, and you said this before, we all need to understand that we're not talking about a matter of if, we're talking about a matter of when these financial troubles just will kind of explode in our face. But how do we deal with that and the reality of that, and how does gold and silver tie to that? And then several people asking about something you mentioned earlier about using gold and silver in an IRA.
Yeah, so from 2001 to 2012, Steve, we were in a bull market in gold and silver. That was a low interest rate environment, a high debt level that just continued to rise. It's the same environment we're in right now. We don't have inflation yet. And gold went from $300 to $1,900, so a big rise in gold. This is why a lot of experts who have nothing to do with owning a gold company, economists, are saying there's going to be a big rise in gold over the next 5 to 10 years because there's a big rise in debt.
Yeah.
So that's the correlation, like the teeter-totter that you said. So why people see that coming as this time a big problem is this time, as you look at the 70s, we had inflation. That's when gold went from $35 in 71 to $850, an even bigger movement. That was during inflation. So this next bull market that we just have started, that we're in right now, many economists are saying it's combined high debt plus inflation this time, which just magnifies the movement in a bull market in gold and silver. And as far as silver, silver outperformed gold during the inflationary time. For every dollar invested in bullion, $10,000 it yielded. There's two other products that we talk about when we do this thing called the financial blueprint. One product for every dollar you invested, every $1,000 you invested in bullion was $10,000. Every $1,000 you invested in what you call a low-grade product, that was $22,000. And every $1,000 you invested, and I can document this number through a book I have, $69,000. I don't expect that again, but
yeah,
there's a lot of different products that do a lot of different things, and this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is why people are saying, you know, they're going to be forced to either inflate, devalue, or seize my money. I want to get something and roll over a portion of my IRA or my 401k so that if they flip the switch and take a portion of your money or devalue it or inflate it, it doesn't affect all your money because it's not all in paper. Because if
right.
you have physical gold in your hands in your IRA and you can hold it without a tax liability by rolling over money from an existing IRA or 401k, they flip the switch, you're not only financially immune, you're immune from safety because they can't access it because it's not traded electronically. It's physical. So this is why we encourage a portion to 7, a portion to 8, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. And we have a white paper on how you can learn on how to do that by getting physicals in your IRA or your 401k.
Yeah, and most people think of, and I hear this on other shows, I hear it on secular radio, I hear it on Christian radio, I hear it on commercials, this whole notion of having physical gold as part of your IRA, to a lot of us, David, almost seems like oil and water because we understand because we're so used to living this way. You want to know what's in your IRA? Well, you open up the mail, or for most of us, you go online and you go see it. And so you're like, oh, I have stock in this company and stock in that company, but where is that? Can you actually put your hands on it? And it's just, I think for a lot of people, it's just kind of a strange concept to think that part of your IRA could be in your safe in your closet.
Well, it's there because it's an alternative asset, and this is why they call self-directed IRAs. And this is why you don't hear Fidelity, Charles Schwab, Merrill Lynch. They don't ever talk about a self-directed IRA, because if they did, a self-directed IRA involves alternative assets outside of stocks and bonds and mutual funds. They don't want to propagate that or advertise that because there would be a big movement out of funds out of their firms. And I'm not against them. I'm just saying that's why they don't talk about it.
Yeah, they don't have a vested interest in that happening.
Yeah, they all want is money under management. That's
sure.
how Wall Street operates.
Right.
So this is you, in essence, getting from the back seat of your car to the front seat. You're in control, a self-directed IRA. That's what it does. And it's not just about gold or silver. It's saying, I want to take control of a portion of my future, financially speaking, and control it. And I've always said, there's nobody to take care of your money better than you, and that's what
yeah.
this does. It puts you in charge.
Yeah, and that's something that I think we're all reasonably becoming much more cynical. And unfortunately, lack of trust in a lot of organizations and institutions, whether it's Congress, the government in general, Wall Street, big banks, whatever the case may be. And you can complain and be concerned about it and throw names around, which I understand. But you also have to be willing to do something about it. You got to get involved. You got to, quote unquote, to use the word, you got to get invested and you got to take some ownership of what's going on in your life. And I think for a lot of people, maybe they think they just can't because, oh, we have a broker or whatever. And so what can I do about it? But they can actually, there's a lot an individual investor can do, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, I'm on national radio on about 138 stations right now on four different major talk show hosts. And just to give you a side note story, there's a lady that lives out in New York. She has a pension that she called and tried to access, move her money even to like a Charles Schwab or a Fidelity. They said, no, no, no. We were able to access her pension. She had $154,000, and then she was able to roll over $134,000 of the pension into physical gold and silver and take possession. And she feels like this is a godsend because the pension's upside down.
Oh,
I mean, it doesn't have the money. So it's just who holds the bag last is the one that loses. And so she was able to get her money in her, quote, bag, her hands, in her IRA without tax liability. And she's not the last one holding the bigger fool theory holding the bag. I'm not saying people that leave their money in paper are the fool. I'm just saying there is a problem that's going to come.
Yeah.
And this whole David and Goliath is going to escalate, and we're going to have more debt. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better until finally the system caves. And that's when you're going to really want to make sure you have gold and silver, but buy it when it's low, not high.
Yeah, really scary stuff. Well, let's do that on when we do the Full Money Monday in March, David. I'd love to talk about pensions because that is an enormous bubble that a lot of really vulnerable people are going to get hammered by. And I'm not so sure how many people really understand how many of the big pensions around this country, municipal and otherwise, are just flat out broke. That you just there's nothing there. And I think most people don't understand that. If people are interested in finding out about how to kind of get and if they have a self-directed IRA or any information like that, David, they want to find out, they want to educate. What's the best way for them to do that?
The old-fashioned way is the best, to have an interactive conversation by calling 844-879-8882, and I guarantee you there'll be no pressure. None of that. We will get you a packet out to you, 844-879-8882. Or you can go to our website at landmarkgold.com if you want to.
Yeah, and just check it out. And again, explore, find out for yourselves, and try to understand that. And I think the thing that we also need to do, and you mentioned this regularly, is let's make sure we're being prayerful. God tells us, reminds us to ask for wisdom. And I would add in there, ask for discernment as well, because it's really getting much more difficult all the time to find the truth, which is why we appreciate you coming in and sharing your expertise with us every week, David. It's always such a blessing. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate partnering with you and all the things that you've spoken in my life and been there as a dear friend.
Amen. You right back at you. All right. I love you, brother. We'll talk to you again real soon next Monday. Thanks so much for your time.
Sounds great.
All right. Talk to you then. And that was David Fisher, and just a great blessing here on the show. And a brother in the Lord, by the way, if you have never caught that before. He is. And so we're going to continue to move down this road. Got different shows coming up this week, this Thursday, as we talk about all this doom and gloom stuff, right? And there's a lot. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of serious stuff going on. I am very concerned at a lot of different levels about our country, what's going on in the world. But also, there is, to use some big theological terminology for you, there is a meta-narrative, M-E-T-A, meta-narrative, an overarching story that's in play that is not tied to, in terms of control. It's not controlled by, it's not really affected by the news of the day. Whether it's stuff going on here in America, stuff going on in North America, stuff going on around the world, that meta-narrative is God's meta-narrative. That's God's grand story, which is unfolding over space and time, which really has four movements, okay? It has creation, we're past that. Then it has the fall, we're still dealing with that. Then restoration, which we're dealing with gospel-wise, redemption, and then restoration. So creation, fall, redemption, which we're in, and then restoration. Eventually, Jesus will restore all things, all of creation, us, those that are in Christ, this earth, the universe, all sin eradicated. That's the meta narrative. And that will come to pass. God's truth will come to pass. I wrote a devotional about it today, about Pontius Pilate and John talking about what is truth. I mean, the perfect answer to the biggest question in life was standing right in front of the guy, and he missed it. What is truth? Truth was standing right in front of him. So remember that. And that meta-narrative, if you're in Christ through the gospel, operates in your favor. Not just today, but tomorrow, the next day, and forever and ever. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.